We're going back to our teaching again today on lining up with God's Word to receive healing. We've really been on this a long time. I think we've had, 19 or 20 sessions? I can't remember now. Somewhere close to there we've had on it. A lot more than I've ever taught about around on this subject, on these things. I've taught this before, but much more. And I just felt, you know, that really, you know, I often thought about Kenneth Hagin talked about climbing a mountain. He said you climb up one side and, you know, you get one view, and you climb up the other side of the mountain and look, you got another view. So there's different views on different sides of mountains. And sometimes it's good when we're dealing with these things, we just take the time to look at all the different aspects of things. And as in teaching these on this subject, you know, we were teaching about the fact that we went through the things of, you know, and going through scriptures, proving through scriptures that it's God's will for everybody to be well. It's the will of God. And when we says everybody, that means you. It's God's will for you to be well. And so you need to know that, and it's to tell people. And I know I had an email from a lady yesterday who, a friend of Wanda's, and she had emailed me about, because they're dealing with a woman who's Christian. And I don't know what the lady's background would be that she was talking about, other than they're Christians. But, you know, she came down, she has, you know, like a 10-month-old or something like that, and then a couple other kids. And anyhow, she has, you know, been dealing, she had ovarian cancer and stuff. And really, the doctors have given her no hope. And they've been working with her and dealing with her, trying to, you know, giving her, you know, some CDs and things to listen on healing and on confession and things, and they're working with keeping her. And she just asked if there's any other things it can do. And I said one of the big things is to do is constantly remind her that her God's a good God, that her God has nothing to do with this thing of doing this to her. Because, you know, that always, you know, you can, you, people do this sometimes and sit and look over the mistakes. Well, I made this mistake and that mistake. Well, I did this wrong. And, you know, maybe I did something wrong that caused the opened the door to the devil to something. But I could always repent, get God back open the door, his door, to let him in to do some stuff. And when people get over there and guilt comes and all kind of things, and after a while, you know, why is God this, or why did people? And then all this, it isn't bad enough that you're standing and you're in a tough spot. And people will come along and say, you know, things to you to try to discourage you in the area and that stuff. And so, you know, you're in a battle and a fight. And I mean, this lady's in a real battle and a real fight. This is she's in a tough spot. And but I said, you know, let her know God's on your side. You know, it's one of the things if the devil's allowed to creep anything in like that and it starts eating at a person and they don't deal with that, it really puts them in a very tough spot, and it's easy to end up turning your faith off. It's easy to end up start doing that. I've seen people do that. It's always encourage people the fact God's on your side. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we know this, the fact that the one who kills, steals, and destroys, the devil, it's not God. I mean, we talked about it over in Corinthians, where it told us when in the church, a guy who was living in sin, it said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Well, if God does the killing, why wouldn't they just let God go ahead and take him out? No, you turn him over to Satan. Why? God's not a killer. Ain't nobody went to heaven and died. Hallelujah. There ain't no death in heaven. Heaven has no death to send here. Glory. So we want to be always sound in that fact that God's a giver and he's a liberal giver. We looked at that. And we looked at that fact as getting yourself settled on the fact that God is a liberal giver. And then we looked at the fact that what God gives, one of the things God gives is healing. God gives healing. Hallelujah. His giving is always liberally, generously. God gives. He gives without reproach. In other words, just because you made a mistake, he don't hold it against you and say, oh, well, you messed up too many times, you idiot. I ain't doing nothing for you. If he did that, us idiots would never get nothing. Thank God he don't do that. He doesn't operate that way. Letting people know that. That's not what he does. Hallelujah. Thank God for repentance. We can do that. And but we're looking at what God gives, and we're talking about the God. What am I supposed to expect to get that God is going to give me concerning healing? And we began last week, we talked about the things, and because most people are believing God's going to give them a healing manifestation. That's what they're really thinking. And that's what they're expecting to get. You know, they're expecting to go and they're expecting to get a healing manifestation. Well, the Word doesn't say that that's what God gives. Now, we need to understand that. And we talked about it because, you know, understand the creation of this earth. You know, God takes the things that He created in this earth. They were types and shadows of the things that are above. When God made the tabernacle, He told us types and shadows. The tabernacle is a type what's actually in heaven. The Bible talks about in heaven. In heaven, there was a mercy seat that was in the temple of God and in the tabernacle. And the Bible talks about the mercy seat that's in heaven. That's where Jesus went and put the blood. It was on the mercy seat of heaven. The Bible says God dwells between the cherubims. See, when He had that mercy seat, there was two cherubims that were on either side of that. You know, the unseen God dwelt between there. God didn't live in the box. God never lived in the Ark of the Covenant. You know what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The law. God didn't live in there. God lived between the cherubims. If you would have went inside the old temple, you'd have walked inside. If you could have gone into it without dying and walked into the Holies of Holies, there were two enormous, huge cherubims that their wingspans were like about 40 feet or so. They were made and all covered with gold, pure gold. And they stood and their wings touched from wall to wall. Enormous. These things were enormous inside to there. They stood. And that place was covered with gold. And in there sat the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, on it had two cherubims. And on the top was the mercy seat. And the blood was put on the mercy seat. And the Bible tells us that's where Jesus put His blood, was on the mercy seat. Redemption was made on the mercy seat. God forgave man's sin by the blood on the mercy seat. He did that. So we saw the types and shadows. So the things that were in the earth are like heaven. So you go around and you read and you find out, here you have men are caught up to heaven. You have different ones talk about it. They were caught up to the throne of God. And what's there? The cherubims. The cherubims are around night and day, praising and worshiping God. There they are. Wow, because it was what was in the earth. In heaven, there's things that are like it. Now, understand, in the earth, we don't have it as a perfect form, but it's in perfection. But the things that God creates here in the earth are images of what's in heaven. So when we turn around and read our scriptures, we need to know the things that we see that God does here in this natural realm. Things that God created, things that are here. And we can look at natural things because Jesus used natural things to explain the kingdom of how seeds grow, didn't He? He used those things. He explained how natural things operated. The way a natural thing operates is the way that the thing operates in the spirit. In other words, the laws are the same. They might be used on something different, but the laws in the kingdom are the same as the laws they are here on the earth. There's laws over here. How the word grows, He uses how the word grows, how a seed grows. He does the same thing. So when we look over here and we go into these things, you know, it's just like this. With people come along, it's the same way as we do in the natural from somebody taking a medicine or how food would work. If food would work in you in a certain way, whether as you take it in and you eat it, let's say somebody's malnourished. Would we expect generally the person that's malnourished that we would feed them something to eat and they'd just be healthy and strong instantaneously? We don't think in that realm. But yet somehow we get over with God and things, and we think over on that side that, you know, everything would be instantaneous. Well, we should know that it's not. It's not instant. Everything isn't instant. We were told to lay hands on the sick and they would recover and things, and so we can do things. But God, and we need to understand when we're dealing with the healing power of God, the healing power of God, sometimes the power will do some things instantaneously. But sometimes it doesn't. You know, in a seeing, I've found this out, experienced myself, and I have even watched it through other ministers operate in these kinds of things. And sometimes, when I had the greatest amount of power on me, even things didn't happen instantaneously ministering to people. Some of them took place in time. Yet, sometimes, things happened right away. So, you don't know. Then on the other hand, I have laid hands on people and have not felt a thing and have had instantaneous healing. I've had people tell me they got instantly healed when I laid hands on them and prayed for them. And I've told people this. Well, I sure didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel nothing. I had nothing. I mean, I laid hands on them. I just did what the Bible said. I just operated on faith. Didn't feel a thing. yet they got instantaneously healed. So we don't want to get over into the areas. You want to watch about your feelings and stuff. Hey, it is nice. Isn't it great when something happens quickly? It is nice, isn't it? Yeah, and it is. And I thank God for every time it happens. Hallelujah, that's good. But sometimes through faith and patience we stand. And I want you to think about the power of God going into your body. This is what God, you know, dealt with me on, was the fact of ministering to people. It's like a person taking medicine. The Holy Ghost power working is like God's medicine in you. And that medicine in you will bring about a healing and a cure. It'll heal you. If you stay in faith, the medicine just keeps working. See, a lot of people think if the power went into them and now I don't feel it, well, it's gone. No, it's not. It's like taking a pill. You might have a pill that the doctor gave you that can actually help you with something. And you put that pill in your mouth, and you might be a person, you know, like Wanda. She was always one of these people with pills, you know. It was always hard to swallow. She would just, you know, I don't know, they say gag reflex or whatever. She wouldn't gag, but she'd have a terrible time getting a pill down her throat. She'd be going, drinking water, you know. She would be doing things. She's not better at it. She used to be. But she used to do it so she takes vitamins. She used to do her vitamins. But now she does good at it. But, you know, the whole thing of it is she could feel that. Now, after that's over, you don't feel that in you, do you? You don't feel it at all. Well, do we expect just because we can't feel it that it ain't doing nothing in there? I mean, if we do, we'd be idiots. What would be the point of taking the next one? Well, if you bleed, it won't do anything. Why take the next one? Why 4 hours later take medication again? But we need to understand when you receive, you need to believe that's in there working. So if God gives us power, and sometimes you may feel it and sometimes you don't. But what we do is we believe we received it. Or just like, I believe I took the pill. You know, I took the pill. I took it. It's in there working. You want to maintain your faith. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But you want to maintain your faith that you took the pill. And so that power's in it. Whether you feel it working in you or not, it's working. Whether you feel it, it's a working. Now, we want to look at some other things here where Jesus, it said about the power in healing, because we want to make sure, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, because what she got from Jesus was power. Power went out of him, into her, healed her body. It was power. It wasn't healing manifestation. Did not go out of him. It was power. So, and like you said, many people are looking and they're expecting, and if they don't see a healing manifestation, they don't think they got anything. And I've seen people do it even though they felt power. They wanted to know why they weren't healed. Because they weren't looking really for what God, the Word said they were supposed to look for. They were looking for healing manifestation. So understand that with yourself. And if we can help administer to people like this, it'll help a lot of people out. Because I believe that even the way many things are taught, that it gives people the impression that's what they're supposed to be looking for. And especially over the years, all the time I've had people come to me, and the whole thing that's on their mind is their manifestation, their healing. And so, what really, they're not walking in the place of faith God told them to walk. Now, I want to look over at Luke. In Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke, the sixth chapter. Now, in Luke, the sixth chapter, we have the things that Jesus has taken place. Jesus has been anointed by God. He was out in the wilderness where he's tempted by the devil. He came out, it says, if you read the book of Luke, tells us he came out in the power of the Spirit. You know, it's amazing, but just because Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost and power, he did not come out in the power of the Spirit till after his temptation. Then he came, it says he came out in the power of the Spirit. That his ministry didn't begin because he was baptized. His ministry began after his wilderness experience. In other words, after he was tempted of the devil, that's when his ministry started. He came out in the power of the Spirit. Now, in Luke tells us a story a little bit about Jesus at this time. And I'll start back up in verse 12, says this. Now, it came in Luke, the sixth chapter, verse 12, says, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to him, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Do you realize this? See, a lot of people think about, they talk about Jesus' disciples. They're always thinking about 12. You know, there was up to the time that, now just think about this. This is before Jesus ever chose the 12. There's a lot of people following him who are his disciples. They're his followers. their following. Out of that group, he picked out 12. I can tell you exactly what Jesus spent the night praying about. Who to pick? Jesus didn't just go down there and say, you know, I like this guy over here. He's doing pretty good. And this guy seems pretty good. He knew. The Bible tells us that Jesus picked Judas, who he knew wasn't going to be a good guy in this thing. He knew it. But God told him to pick him. Judas had the opportunity to walk right. Jesus had the opportunity. He was on the inside 12. But anyhow, so we find out he named them apostles. It says, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and he says Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James and the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. What? He wasn't a betrayer, he became one. He became one. And when God made him, he became one. He started out as a disciple. Now look what it says. Verse 17. And he came down from front with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of people, of his disciples. Now a crowd of his crowd, he's standing with these 12, he has. He says, with a crowd of his disciples. So there's a whole crowd. When he came down, there's a whole crowd of them now. So there's a crowd of disciples that he has there with him. And it says, and a great multitude of people with all Judea and Jerusalem. And from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now, well, they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. That's what they came for. And it says, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. So what happened? People came there who were sick, people who came with demonic problems. Do you know what I often thought was really strange? You want to talk about a difference of not understanding things is today? Most people would never know today, most Christians would never know if they had a demonic problem unless somebody else told them. Here, people knew when somebody had a demonic problem. They knew when the devil was doing stuff. I really believe the church world is about as ignorant as you can get on a lot of this stuff. Here are these people. It says there's people who came to be healed, but they classify, he says, well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. But they came to get delivered. People today don't even know. They don't even think because we have all this psychology. A psychology is taught across the line. It's all just like, you know, we ain't dealing with devils. You know, you just, you know, think happy thoughts. You know, you'll be all right. Now, verse 19, what it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. Everybody wanted to touch him. Why? For healing manifestations went out from him and healed them all. No, it says power. What else? Power went out from him and healed them all. Power did that. So even from the standpoint of demons, it's power. It's always power. Power does it. So what people should be expecting, and we should be looking for, is the power of God. So what do people, the reason the people were looking, see they were looking in the right direction, they were looking for the power of God. Really, they were looking for power because power would come out of him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. You don't see just the Holy Ghost, does it? And power. You know, you could be baptized in the Holy Ghost and never really have power. Says Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. See, if you don't walk over in things that people don't really understand, people think, you know, just automatic, you know, I'm just going to have power. No, you got the power, all the power in you, but it's not working. You want power to work in you. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. There's anointings of power, and people need to get in line. Here's one thing. You ain't going to have people who keep failing the test have power. See, many people fail the test. God, you know, God tests them with what He's given them, and they don't do nothing with it, but they want power. You know, somebody who's not faithful, Jesus said, if you're not faithful with little bit, who's going to give you more? Who's going to give you more? Increase in power is based upon faithfulness. It's faithfulness. Are you faithful in what you got? That's an important thing, because that determines power. God doesn't just throw His power out there to unfaithful people. A lot of people look at it, well, you know, it just works. No, it don't. has to do with faithfulness. So we want to get over. It's one thing to see is God dealing with the church world today. I believe is a lot in this area, so God can demonstrate His power. Why? And you know how it's demonstrated? Through people. So in other words, we got to be a good conduit of power. You know, it's sort of like if you're like wiring. You know, if you have stuff that draws a whole lot of current, you have to have heavier wiring than you do on things that draw little current. That's why, like, if you go in and look inside the computers and things like that, your regular computer, and in your, if you look at your, like, say, laptops and all that kind of stuff, your computers, you see very heavy, very little any kind of thing has a heavy wire on it, everything. Anything you open up, it's just tiny little, if they do have any, even those wirings, and then the circuit boards are just all these, you know, it's nothing to them. I mean, if you look inside of one of those processors and see what, I mean, it's hardly, the naked eye, you don't even see the stuff that's all in there. Why? Low amount of power that runs through it. So it doesn't need anything heavy. But now if you took that circuits in there and all of a sudden you hook that thing up and you run, you know, say maybe, 120 volts in there with about, you know, 30 amps. See what happens. Watch the boards fry. Well, why does it do it? It's not heavy enough wiring. Well, in the spirit, it's sort of the same way. In the realm of the spirit, sort of the same way. We become conduits of God's power. A person, by you know, we can do things that really sort of make us to be able to handle more current without it frying us. It's in that sense. It's in that sense. It's one of the things that we do. In other words, we become better heavily wired to handle the power of God. And it's true, because if a person lives and does a lot by the flesh, the flesh will short circuit the power of God. It'll short circuit. And so we need to know that. So the more I can walk over and walk on things right, the more power that can operate through you. So we need to understand that. That's why Jesus, he's operating in the power of God. He came out in the power of the Spirit. He was tested, but he comes out, and what he's giving people is this power. And this power is what makes the difference. The power of God makes the difference. And so today, like we say, sometimes we feel power, sometimes we don't. But there's one thing that I found this out among Christians, just from a general standpoint. The more that we get over walking toward God, right, the more manifestation we ought to see within ourselves. We should all see ourselves, but also in ministry to people. We can see difference and the level of whatever we work at. So in a sense, the more I'm able to walk over in the areas of walk more in the knowledge of faith and how it works, walk in line with the Word of God, we're going to see more demonstration of things that will happen through us. And so that, I mean, that's just common. And I mean, we wouldn't expect it. It's so many people just expect generally, well, it just should generally happen. No, that's not the way it works. It don't just generally happen. And so, there's one thing about it, and we see if a lot of power operates through individuals and they get over and start getting out of line with God's Word, you see many of them, and this is why, if you look over the past, is why as many times ministers die prematurely. What happens is they get over and for a long time they walk right. God anoints them with a lot of power, but that same power operating through them can become destructive to them, because they get over walking in the flesh and start yielding in the flesh, and it ends up causing them huge problems. What was the blessing ends up to be the curse. People need to know that. It opens the door to things, and they don't realize it. So that's one thing. You mean we can get over, so this is why you always want to walk right. So, you know, we want to live, you know, today, you know, all this junk of people talking, well, you know, it's all about faith when you get saved, you know. Apostle Paul talked about contending the faith. I mean, you're going to always have to contend for faith. It ain't the faith that we first received. He said, you got to contend for the faith you first received. In other words, you got to keep fighting for it. In other words, you might have got born again over here, but don't you think 20 years down the road, just because you got born again back here, you're all right. You might not be all right at all if you ain't contended for the faith. Many people started off on a true faith, and they end up down the road and totally believe that they're in faith with God, and they ain't even close to faith with God. They ain't even on the same playing field God's on. They're playing for another team, but they'll swear they're all right. Why? They've never contended for the faith, and they have changed and switched faith, and they don't even know they did it. They'll swear they're believing what's right, but they're counting on a faith that they had in the past that they never contended for. So you don't want to do that. But power, we have the power of God. And here again, we have power. So if they got healing power, then we need to ourselves expect that's what we would get. And that's to tell others that's what they get, healing power. Now, we also, backing up to chapter 5, and I want to look at this as we see concerning the healing power in what it says here. In this instance of Jesus' ministry, and we find here, we used this before, talked about it numbers of times, but we see it concerning the power of God. We find out here in verse in Luke 5, starting verse 17, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them." The power of God was present. Now, I want you to think about it. Now, it's a little different in Jesus than with us. Just think about when Jesus was here, he was the only one who was anointed with his power. See, he was the only one. Now, today it's totally different. But the power of God, God anointed him. And where Jesus was and ministered, the power of God was present to heal. So you got to hook up with power. Even though, you know, it's just like this. I mean, you know, we go around and we go to places and that stuff today. You know, people want, you know, all of the stuff that operates off of Wi-Fi and everything else. And people are always going to places trying to find a hook up to a signal, aren't they? So in other words, if you have something that's transmitting a signal and it's an open job, well, then you could get on, you know, you could just go on there to do that. Well, in a sense, there's a real truth to that about the power of God. I mean, it operates a lot in the same way, but you got to hook up to it. You know, you just don't, you know, I do not set any of my stuff that it will all, just any Wi-Fi thing I walk into, if it's an open one, will just connect to it. I make sure my stuff is always set that I choose to what I want to hook up to. That my computer, but you can set it. You can set your computer that as soon as you get in range of anything that's open, it'll go after it. You can do that. Now, the people who do that, they need a brain transplant. But other than that, because you may hook up to what you wish you'd have never hooked up to. But innocent. But we need to know. Jesus was that. No, understand this. Jesus was, in a sense, a power pack. And the power was there, present, to be healed. In other words, healing power was present. Now, what it is people have to hook to that. And what are you doing? By faith is how you hook up. You know, whether, you know, what I do is your settings in your computer, and your computer can be to set up that Wi-Fi, it'll hook up, connect with that Wi-Fi signal. Now, unless you set it to do it, it won't do that. In other words, you have to do something so it will accept to do that. So they have all this, you know, security stuff today and everything, and they put it all on there to try to keep us from just, you know, hooking up to anything. They don't want us to. Well, in the same way as the power of God, faith is how we hook up to the healing power of God. Here it is present. Now, we know this. Is the power felt? We have no sign. We're going to read it. We have no sign that the power's felt at all. Well, it says it's present. It's like I was talking to before about, how do you feel the current flowing through the walls here? Do you feel the electric going through the walls? Now, you know what? Now, let me say this. With sensitivity, they have equipment that you could sit here and you could tell. They have equipment. You could turn walk and you could walk down through here and you could tell where every wire goes and where it's going through in the house. Okay? It's very sensitive. But generally, you feel it? No, you don't feel a thing. You feel nothing. Well, they felt nothing, but it says here, the power was present. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, the power of God is present to heal and deliver people everywhere all the time. It's always there. Why? The Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost in the earth. The Holy Ghost in the earth. And the Holy Ghost ain't just out here just in contact with believers. The Holy Ghost is trying to bring conviction to all men to be saved. He's out around. The power of God is out around here with everybody. It's just some people recognize it and learn how to operate it by faith, the power. And how do you do it? By faith. In other words, just like that signal that my laptop or my phone would be designed to pick up a Wi-Fi signal, just as it is designed to be able to do that, people are designed to operate. You and I, our spirits are designed by God. The spirit can believe and hook up to something. We're designed. We're taught how to do it. How do you do it? Well, it's just like if a person didn't know how to do it, I've had many times that people ask me, you know, I can't get hooked up to my Wi-Fi. What's going on? And, well, I find out what happens. They don't know how their computer's supposed to operate. They've never really gone through. Somebody set it up for them before. They don't know. So they lose signal. They don't know how to get back to it. They've never done. And you can go on and not done. Just a simple thing. Just a few simple things and you got it back up and running again. Well, it wasn't because anything was complicated. They just didn't know how to hook because there's certain procedures you had to follow on their device, whatever it was, to hook to it. Well, we need to understand that. The Bible teaches us how to hook up to that signal, that power. It's telling us how to do that. There's power to be hooked up to, and so we find out about that power, how to hook to it, and we do it through faith. Well, that sounds really great, but you just say to most people about faith, and they think they know what about faith. They ain't got a clue about faith. They don't know. Because they're mostly, and I'm not making fun of anybody or you know, being, you know, disparaging to anyone. It's because they've never been taught. They have been mostly taught to go by what they see and what they feel around them. Well, I don't feel any power, so there must not be any here. It doesn't look like anything's going on, you know. And sometimes, you know, you have, every one of us at some times have experienced power. Have you ever been around something where you experienced the power of God? I'll tell you, I've experienced the power of God where it was so strong, physically, I couldn't stand it. So powerful. Couldn't stand it, being around it. I've been around the power of God operating through an individual. See, some people don't know about this, a power of God operating through an individual. I've been around where a power's been operating through an individual so strong, when they start to even, I've had people get within 30 feet of me and I had a hard time standing up. Power of God was operating so strong through them and you could feel it. It started getting them. I mean, I was like, whoa, fight and stand. It's the power of God. It was on them. They'd move away from you. You didn't feel it. They'd move towards you. But that power was radiating out from them. It was the power of God. It was the Holy Ghost on the individual. And so, and it does make a difference. So, but that power is there. Now, sometimes you don't feel the power. But we found out here, there's power. Now, it's present for them to be healed. It is present, but it's hooking to it. But we want to see this. What was present to heal? Power was. Power is present to heal. So it says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, what did he say? He saw their faith. In other words, understand this. They're operating over in the faith. And so we need to know this. So what connected to the power? Faith did. Faith is the connection to the power. Just like in a natural, if we have sockets here in the walls here, you plug in there. In other words, the receptacle's there. What must you have? You must have a cord that plugs into a socket, like a regular socket. If you had yourself a lamp somebody bought for you and sent from Europe, you couldn't plug it into this socket unless you got something on a converter. But just say from the plug standpoint, because their plugs are not like our plugs. So you couldn't just plug it in there. You have to have the right thing, the right plug to plug it in there. Understand that. You gotta have the right plug. Now you wouldn't want to plug one of their lamps in here. It wouldn't go well. Especially you wouldn't want to take one of your lamps and plug it in over there on 220. Your bulb would get real bright for a spirit of time. For a few seconds. And that'd be the end of that one. And then you'd have to get it rewired and anyhow, but understand this. So these people come and what has happened? Now understand, Jesus says he sees faith. See, their faith, now what? Has connected to the power. I do want you to get this, and we're not teaching really from this standpoint. If you hook to the power, God can't deny you. People say, I wonder why I'm in faith and nothing happened. Well, hold it. It can't be, if you hook by faith, you know, I never once ever, if I had electric flowing through the place, everything's working right, all the receptacles right, I never plugged a lamp in and the wall socket said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to accept this lamp. You can't. No, we're not doing that today. No, not today. No, whenever you plugged into the power, what? The power came. If I plug into the power, if the power's there and I plug into it, I'm going to have the same result as anybody else plugging into the power. As many people think they plug into the power, they haven't. They think they have. But they haven't plugged in. They haven't plugged in according to the word. They thought they had the right plug to plug into it, and they didn't. They said they were operating in faith, but really they weren't operating in faith. They may have been to a point, but they didn't understand and know, and that's why we're teaching these things. These guys came. Immediately, Jesus identified faith, and what does he do? He starts dealing with them on what power does. First thing he said, your sins are forgiven you. What? That power of God will forgive your sin. Same power that heals you, forgive you. Jesus, what didn't we read about? People were sick and people were demon-possessed. Did the power do both? The power did both. The power didn't say, uh-oh, hold it, we're only doing sick people. That's it. Too bad for demon-possessed. Go home, too tough luck. Maybe some other day the power will work for that. Anybody that operates in faith can get over and plug into the power of God, because the power of God, it's like we started off in the beginning, from Hebrews, the 11th, 11th chapter and verse 6, where it tells us, you know, that that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to, that's something you must believe, that He's a rewarder. In other words, those people came, the power of God, you have to believe it. He is, or He is whatever it is that you need. We talked about that. You have to believe that. These individuals who were demon-possessed, they came believing that His power would do that. And it did. Because His power will do that. God's power will deliver men of all kinds of stuff. You know, it just delivers people of it. It's God's power. So men can be set free. So when Jesus told, he said, your sins are forgiven you, that's part of the power of God. God, he forgave me sins. He said, and what did they do? The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Now I want you to understand this. See, most preachers teach from this point. Oh, see, Jesus could forgive their sins because He was God. If He forgave this man's sins because He was God, then the Bible's a lie. Jesus was operating God. He wasn't operating as a prophet. He wasn't doing any of that. He forgave sin. Jesus told the disciples when He left, whoever sins people, you remit, they're remitted. Whoever, you know, you don't remit, they're not remitted. Jesus told them that. Why would we preach a gospel of salvation, of forgiveness of sin, and tell people their sins would be forgiven if they would call on Jesus if it ain't true? I'm telling people, I'll guarantee you, your sins will be forgiven. But see, people get over and get weird. This guy came and he said, your sins are forgiven. Wow, the same power that heals, delivers, saves, does all of it. Hallelujah. You don't have to hook up. Sometimes I think maybe sometimes it's the way we've taught it. We made people think they had to hook up to some kind of thing different for different things. And you don't, really. But sometimes there's different ways you hook up for different things. But it was one thing. Faith always connects the same way. Faith is always connecting the same way. So these guys down there said, who can do that but God? But it says, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Now, He says He perceives something. Now, I want you know what this is an operation of? It's an operation of the gift of the word of knowledge. He knew what they were thinking. He couldn't have known it because He was God. If He did, again, hold it. Then He wasn't who He said He is. He wasn't this guy that came down here. And He has no right to tell me to ever think that I would do what He did. I'm sorry, Eddie Gibson ain't been God lately. And I don't expect it to happen. So... I don't expect it. But I can walk as He walked, because He walked as a man anointed by God. I can do that. You can do that. You could do that. But you couldn't expect to walk like God, could you? You couldn't expect to know everything. You know, Jesus today has to have no gift of the Spirit operate through Him to show Him everything. Why? He knows everything. But He, as a man, He limited Himself to operate as a man, and He's operating under the gift of the Spirit. He perceives something. If He was operating as God, He wouldn't have to perceive a thing. He'd have known that morning when He got up what those guys were going to think, because He's operating as God. He'd have known exactly what was going to happen. We don't say it, He does. He did. So, Okay, he said then again, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has what power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. So what is that? So we know this happened. He said, look, power was present to heal. Power was present to forgive, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, see, because Jesus told him, what do you mean? Why? Jesus didn't ask for any son special power to forgive, did he? So the power of sin, the Son of Man has the power. Why? God gave him power. God gave him power. He's in the earth. So he's it. What does he do? He says to this man, he speaks to this man and he tells him to rise up and walk. Well, what caused him to rise up and walk? It was the power. The power that was present to heal is what he got. See, they came there looking for the power of God. That's what they wanted. They wanted to get in his presence. I'm sure these people have heard about him. You just touch his clothes. You read all the stuff where people just wanted to touch him. We read about it. Power went out of him. People just wanted to touch him because power would come out of him. You know, it's like, you know, we learn to where the power sources are of whatever we want to run or hook up. And so what do? You know, if you run out here and you want to do something, you're someplace you don't know where you're at and you want to run a tool or something you need to plug into, you go look for the power source, don't you? You go find out where there's a receptacle where you can plug into. If you don't have a receptacle, you don't get to the power. And so they know this. They know that there's healing power in Jesus Christ, and so they go look to plug into that. See, I believe we would see more demonstrations of the healing power if Christians would start telling people that they have healing power. See, people don't tell people that. Oh, look to Jesus. No, I'm a Peter. Look at me. Jesus gave me something. When Jesus left, he gave Ed Gibson the Holy Ghost. Woo-hoo! Don't get any better than that. In other words, we do have a power source in us, don't we? And I want you to understand this. Your own human spirit is born again. It has the life of God in it. You're a power source. You're a power source of God. And see, I believe many times a power source doesn't manifest any further because of our faith. We don't tell people what we have or what we are. The church world today is into all this seeker-friendly of trying to be like everybody who sins, who tries to be like them, tries to show them we're like they are, tries to do the same stuff they're doing, or we're reaching them. No, we're supposed to show them we're different. To tell them we have power. We do. I'm not, you know, this isn't being big-headed or trying to act like I'm special. I'm nothing special. You know, there's people walking around, all kinds of Christians walk around, power of God. And you know what? Never live like they have the power of God. But yet they got it. They have it, and they are. They're children of God. They've been born of God. But you know what? Never demonstrated in their lives by, they talk to people, well, you know, I'm just trying to get by. I'm just doing my best. And well, but the whole thing of it is, they're still, and really, in a sense, the Lord told me one time when I was a young Christian, he said, many Christians walk around, and he said, they lie all the time. And I thought, wow, what are you talking about? They're lying all the time. He said, they're going around telling people they're like they are, and they ain't nothing like they are. He said, they talk about their weaknesses and failures. He said, they're lying. He said, they're full of power. And they're lying. They're telling people stuff. He said, they're lying. He said, they live lives of lies. He said, many Christians say they hate liars. And he said, they live a life like a lie. He said, because they're always acting like they ain't got nothing. They ain't can't do anything. And he said, it's a life of a lie. They're perpetrating lies to people. Now, they don't. May not realize they're doing it, but they're telling people untruth about themselves. And they're portraying a life that they're much more than what they say they are or how they live. And see, I believe that just like that unbelief clogs up, or you could say in a sense, it's like putting a resistor in an electric line. You put a resistor in there, and that resistor will resist electric current going through there, and whatever, how the type of resistor, how much resistance it makes, the flow out the other side's less. So, in unbelief, sometimes that's what we do. Our unbelief stops the power. We don't act like we got much, so we're not really acting. We don't act like we have something to give somebody. But we do. The Lord's told me one time, scolded me one time. He said, don't you ever tell people you don't have something to give. Don't you ever say that to nobody. He said, you got stuff to give people. Don't you ever say you don't. And I said to him, yes, sir. You have something to give. You know, most Christians, they think that what I need to give people is the answer that they want. Most of them don't need the answer that they want. They don't even know what they want. Some people don't even know what's hindering them or harming them. They don't even know. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, as much as I remember E.W. Kenyon's book, he talked about laying hands on a person in the name of Jesus who just, you know, was having trouble accepting Jesus. They just couldn't get them. Laying hands on them and breaking the power of the devil over their life, who's hindering them from accepting Christ. And he said, laid hands on them and spoke over them, and he said the person instantly accepted Jesus Christ. But there was demonic powers, and the Bible tells us the God of this world blinds men. The God of this world. Well, many times God of this world blinds even Christians, and they'll get blinded. They don't even see what's blinding. They don't know they're blinded by something. They're trying to just operate in natural things. Praise God. They need somebody to deliver them. I found this out. The guy, if I'm in the ditch with the guy that's in the ditch, we ain't getting out of the ditch. The way you get people out of the ditch is you stay out of the ditch. And you know what you can do? You reach down and pull the guy out of the ditch. Hallelujah. The church world today is, no, we go down in the ditch. That's what you get in the ditch with them, and oh, they'll love you. Oh yeah, they think you're wonderful. Now I can live like hell, and because now you'll come down and live like hell with me. This is how you reach people. You know, just think if you had a first grade teacher. This first grade teacher is going to teach children. And what the way they're going to teach them is we're going to teach them all that they know. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what they do. We're going to act like they act. You'd never teach them a thing. Devil has the church so blindsided, that's exactly what they're doing. They're acting like the world. The churches are like the world. Everything else. And this is going to be, if I act like them, I'll teach them what they know. What they know, it don't matter. You got to teach them what they don't know. You got to tell them what they don't know. You got to tell them, you know, your stinking life is why you got all the trouble you got. If you don't change your stinking life, you ain't going to change. And you need somebody to change that. Jesus is the one to change it. So you don't need to hear another worldly song when you come to church. You don't need mood lights. You don't need this stuff. You don't need those things. Those things kept you over in the flesh and will keep you over in the flesh. You'll be waiting to see something you'll never see. So what we want to do is see here, just like the power of God is here. The power of God. These people... It's just like you, like Pat said to me, I just said, but was it easy? She said, yeah. Just said, these guys didn't do nothing great. They weren't Pharisees, so this we know. They said there's Pharisees and scribes came from all over. These, in other words, Judea, all over the place, Sidon, all over. These guys all gathered to come to listen. Now, these guys were all, these are word people. Oh, they got the law, man. They got all the things Moses said. They got all this stuff. They're all sitting around there. Well, this is what I know. Their education didn't get them anywhere. Here's some uneducated guys. Now, we don't, you know, but it could have been four guys carrying them. I don't know how many there were, whatever it was, whatever. Two guys carrying, we don't know. But these men came. These guys all came in. Dropped him down. These guys came. What are they? Was it hard to figure? This is what they knew. If we can connect him to the power, we got it. Jesus is the power source. When he touches him, he's going to get power, the power to be healed. He'll power healed. That's all he has. You know what? That's all he had to believe. He had to believe some kind of really weird thing. To think about it. In Mark 11:24, when you pray, what do? Believe you receive it. And you have it. Believe you receive it. See, what these guys believe? They believed that if this guy could just get down Jesus' presence, he'd get it. That's what they believe. Well, they're right. Why? That was the power source. They believed that they had to get down to the power source, and that's what they did. They got to the power source. They didn't do any kind of... These guys weren't rocket scientists. I'm always so thankful this faith thing ain't rocket science, because, you know, I tell you, I'd be hurting. It's not rocket science. Thank God it's not, because I'll tell you, you don't need it. I have seen common, simple people who have had very little education, powerful spiritual people. Powerful spiritual people. They know things of the Spirit. They know how to walk in the Spirit. It is amazing. You'll very few. If you took how many people are highly educated and ended up really understanding and walking that, like through history, very few people. Apostle Paul, highly educated Pharisee, he wasn't the regular man. He was the irregular that learned to walk with God like he did. What, the other disciples, what, they were just all common guys. Fishermen, stuff like that. These weren't the guys that, they didn't go to the right Bible school. No. You know, I know people went to Raymond and it didn't turn out well for them. And the reason it did is because it didn't help them is because they thought they knew something. No, I'll tell you what, you ain't gonna make it out here without God. And so these guys were just common everyday guys. What they wanted to do, they wanted to hook up with the power of God. And that's what you people, we need to tell people. People, we hook up with the power of God. How do we do it? By faith. By actions of faith, we hook up with the power of God. And it says, now, and I like verse 26 because it said, now in verse 26 it says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now this is the crowd. Now understand, the crowd, and the Pharisees, and the scribes, and this crowd of people, not the guy who got healed. The guy who got healed, even his friends knew that if they could get him to Jesus, he was going to get healed. They knew that. They weren't amazed. Who was amazed? All these other people were amazed. And this is what happens. I can always tell people who are not in faith, they're always amazed. When they see something happen, they are amazed. It don't amaze me all that a miracle take place. It doesn't amaze me. What amazes me, it don't happen more. That amazes me. But see, the rest of them were all amazed. Why? They didn't understand how it happened. Those guys that went up on the roof with the guy that's paralyzed, they knew exactly how it was going to happen. They knew exactly. I'm not amazed when I go plug something into power and it works. You know what I'm amazed at is when I plug it in and it don't work. I say, what's going on? Go around checking the plugs, checking stuff. Now, don't. If you went out to your car and got in it today and you put the key in and it didn't start, would you go, oh my God, it started? Now, you might do that if it ain't been working right. But you generally walk out there and you get amazed. No, you're like, huh, well, I wasn't nothing. It worked. Huh. Somebody'd say, wow, your car started. Isn't that awesome? And you look at them like, okay, all right. All right, hey, say, hey, I know a nice place it is. They have nice rubber rooms, and we'll take you for a ride out here. They'll give you an injection, and you'll calm down. Well, what do you think are weird? These people are weird. They're amazed. The reason, the amazement, they don't know how faith works. They don't know. They don't know how to hook up to the power, so they can't experience that. They see something happen. I've watched this many times, ministering to people, but also watching others minister to people. And I've seen people going like in meetings and that stuff, and they're just totally amazed that they get healed. They're amazed. Well, I know this. They didn't get it by their faith. If you got it by your faith, you know it. You say, well, wow, it happened. I've had people over the years tell me about certain things that happened. I stood and believed for in certain things, and not necessarily healing, but other stuff. And it came to pass, and I had a person say to me one time, you didn't seem very excited about that. I said, I got excited about that a long time ago when I received it. I said, I knew that was coming, dear Lord. I knew that was going to happen. Why? I believed I received it a long time ago. It was mine. It's been mine all the time. Why would I be amazed that it happened? I would be amazed if it didn't. That's what I would be amazed. You see that? That's why faith isn't out here looking around and just, oh my God, so wow, it finally, wow, it happened. Whoa. You know, you might be glad it finally came to pass because it changed something that you've been wanting to get changed. That's good. But you should never be amazed that it took place. If you're in faith, it should be, I knew that was coming. I knew I was going to get that one. That was mine. I had it. I received it. You know? It's just like I tell the story about the one time getting a car. A guy, you know, bought me a car. And I got over the thing because I knew I was standing in faith. And when it didn't come to pass, I went to God about that thing. And I said, hey, Lord, this thing ain't been come to pass. And I had a sense it should have came past that 1 year. And it didn't. And it wasn't until the next spring that it came to pass. And next spring, a person came to me and said, God was told me last year to buy you a car, but I didn't do it. See, I knew it should come. But you know when that car came, it didn't blow my mind. I knew that car had to come. It was in faith. I was believing God for a car. I was believing God for a car, and I wanted a car. And I said, God, I need a car. Give me a car. So I said, one day, well, I'm going to receive a car in the name of Jesus. I got me a new car. And I got one. And but the whole thing of it is standing in faith. And instead of staying a long time in that thing of standing in faith, I stood a good period of time, because about the time it did happen, I had started it a year before that, and it came. So it ended up taking 2 years to bring it in. But you know what? It wouldn't happen. It could have came in a year. But understand this, and this is why I always tell people, make sure God gets you to do it, because you know there's one thing. If you're not quick to obey God and to give when you're supposed to, do not be surprised. It takes a long time for you to get something. See, sometimes people aren't quick to give. And see, that individual did learn from that. They did learn from that. Is you don't hold back, because there's things that they were believing God for and things weren't working. God was trying to get them. See, you're going to reap what you sow. So if you don't respond, and always remember this, dealing with the areas of money and things like that, and dealing with those kinds of, or either it's giving a person a certain thing, you know, maybe you have something that God says, hey, give it to that person over there. Those kind of things, they come from people. They don't fall out of heaven. Money don't fall out of heaven. God don't go down to the bank and go inside and rob it and get some money out and come over to your house and give it to you. It comes through people. And it comes through whomever that he can get things to work, or however he can get them to give to you or do to you. I've had sinners give to me faster than Christians would. And I knew they were inspired by God to do it. I've had sinners come and give me money. God would sure like to get some Christians to do it. What? For their own blessing. You want to be blessed. And this one thing is I want to be sensitive to God about giving, you know, because I know this. There's things that I need. And there's things that I might not need right now, but there's things that I will need. I don't want to hold that back to when I need them. I can't get them because I won't give. So I'm not listening to a guy who has a need. God's trying to get me to fulfill his need for him, and I'm being disobedient. So we don't want to do that. So, but walk in the light. But I really encourage you to stay over in the areas of the light. You know, walking in these things is the fact if you're hooking up to the power of God, and if you're hooked up, we hook up by faith. And I look at these people that did these things. We had the woman with the issue of blood. She was just a common person. You know, we have this instance again. These are just common people. They're walking. All they're doing is they know there's a power source, and it's no different than going and plugging into a wall socket or hooking up your computer to a Wi-Fi or something. It's no different than that. All you do is find out the system that you need to do to make it happen. And once you know how the rules work to hook that thing up, it's not a hard thing to do. It's simple. And what it is lots of times in the areas of faith, faith is contrary to the way we've been taught. We've mostly been taught to live by what we see, feel, and things. And we're dealing with faith. We many times don't feel things. We didn't find out that the woman with the issue of blood, it ever said she started getting close to Jesus and felt power, so she knew she was doing the right thing. Don't say these guys felt a thing. They didn't feel anything. We don't even say here this guy felt any power to go into him when he got up. What did Jesus told him to do? Jesus told him to make an action of faith. He said, you get up. And don't say the power of God picked him up. See, most people do. They're all, oh, the power of God is going to pick you up. I had a guy in a wheelchair one time, tried to talk to him about that. He wouldn't listen. I said, you're waiting for the power of God to come into you and to pick you up out of that wheelchair and make you walk. I said, you know what? I said, those things have happened already. But I said, I want to tell you this. It's also happened where the power of God went into people and that stuff and picked them up out of the wheelchair, and they never did get healed. Because I said, they never did respond to it by faith. I had a story told, and it's true, but the minister told it. True story. They had a meeting. Power of God went into a guy on a wheelchair, sitting in a wheelchair, picked him up, took him up about 3 or 4 feet in the air off his wheelchair. Said everybody in the meeting, thousands of people in the meeting saw him up on his wheelchair, sitting up off the wheelchair. And all of a sudden he dropped back down the wheelchair. Power of God picked him up by the wheelchair. He dropped him back down the wheelchair. Power of God picked him up by the wheelchair. And the guy didn't get healed. Well, he never responded to it. See, power of God would be present. I've been in a room one time praying for an individual, praying. Power of God came into that room. It was so powerful, the power of God came into that room. Guy's laying in a bed. And my mind's thinking all the time, why didn't he get out of the bed? Why didn't he get out of the bed? Why didn't he get out of the bed? Well, see, he never hooked to the power by faith. He never got out of bed. I finally asked him. I did it two times. Two times I began to pray. Because the power sort of, it waned and sort of lifted. And I thought, what's going on? I'm back praying again. I said, God, what's going on here? I began to pray again. Power of God came back in the room. Nothing. God didn't do anything. Power just sort of went away. And I said to him, I said, why did you get out of the bed? He said, I was afraid. She's afraid he got out of bed and fall. He wouldn't act in faith. See, people get afraid. If I act on the Word of God, you know, I want all safety things around me if I act on the Word of God. You know, I can't give out here. I ain't got much money. I can't give. God wants me to give. God wanted me to give all that money away. Well, I ain't going to have nothing left. See? They're dependent on that. That, whether they don't realize, it's a type of God to them. I have to have that to survive. I got to have that. I can't trust God to take care of me. And see, people, see, it's like him. I fall down. What if I fall down and hurt myself? What if I fall, what if I get out of bed and I fall down and hurt myself? What if I try to get up? But he was expecting the power of God. He wanted the power of God to come into him, pick him up out of the bed, stand him, make him walk. I said, well, sort of seems they ain't going to happen that way, don't. It's not going to happen. See, people need to know that because the power of God's praying. The power of God present, whether felt or not felt. And we have nothing here on this story that ever tells us the idea that anybody felt anything. I told it. When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, do you think he felt power rush through him? No. And I will bet you money he felt nothing. He felt nothing. You know, Kenneth Hagin tells this story about when Jesus told him to get out of his bed. When Kenneth Hagin, 16-year-old boy, said he believed he was healed, Jesus said, yes, now you believe you're healed. He said, but what does a healed person do? He says, a person that's healed, he said, are they in the bed at 10 o'clock in the morning? Well, somebody might depend today or to work their shift, but he's talking generally from a standpoint of people. In other words, you ain't laying around a bed all day if you're well. And you know Kenneth Hagin? He said, are they in bed? He said, no. He said, they're not out of bed. So Kenneth Hagin, he struggled and struggled till he got a hold of the bedpost. His legs were paralyzed, but he struggled. His arms were very weak. He struggled till he got himself hanging onto the bedpost, pulled his legs out of the bed, hanging onto the bedpost there, pulled himself out of the bed. Now, he could have surely got hurt, couldn't he? Now, he's been for over a year bedridden, so I'm sure muscle-wise and stuff. Well, it wasn't. I mean, he was more like a bit of a skeleton. He was so skinny. They talk about the fact they called him String Bean from Jim Beam or something. There was a town down there where he had been for a while, and they called him String Bean. Anyhow, because he was so skinny and tall and real skinny, and then he used to say, that sure changed. He said, God didn't have to put anything on me. He said, I put a lot on me over the years. But he had to do that. You know what? He said he was hanging on that post there, declaring that he was healed. He said it was like somebody poured warm honey down over me. And he said, strength came into my body and I stood up. But you know what? It never did till he acted in faith. God didn't take him because he was 16-year-old and go, oh, I'm just going to give it to you and you don't have to do nothing. No, he taught him that. You know, he could have never taught us what he taught us had he not done that. See, I'm sorry. Most people teach healing in faith. They don't have the qualifications to teach it. They've never gone through nothing. They've always gone the natural way. Yet they'll talk about faith and healing. The reason him going through that, you know what? He was in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness, and when he came out in the power of the Spirit. He learned how to connect to the power of God. He learned. It's just like Jesus. He connected to the power of God when he was in the wilderness by confessing the Word. He confessed the Word. He connected to the power of God. And he came out in the power of the Spirit. And it's the same with us. So when we're looking at these things and this stuff, I just want you to understand and get over yourself. This is not something difficult for you to do. It's not something hard for you to do. It's about hooking the power. always get yourself over the fact that the power is present. The power is present. And what do? I want the power of God is what I want to do. It's like we don't see in this instant. It doesn't talk about anything feeling. We have the lady with the issue of blood. She felt something, didn't it? It said she felt that she was. We don't have a thing said about this man feeling anything. We don't have anything about him feeling anything. Thank God sometimes you do feel something. You know what? It's like this. It's a wonderful thing to feel the power of God on you, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I've felt the power of God on me many times. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But I've done a lot of things and not felt a lick of power of God on me, yet got results. So it's good if you do, that's nice. But if you don't, that changes nothing. Nothing's changed whether you feel. Respond to God by faith whether you feel anything or not. You don't have to feel something. You don't need a special sign from heaven. You don't need something that determines. It's like people will sit in a service and they'll determine whether God's there or how that they feel anything. If God's moving here, hold it. You know, it don't matter if anybody else in the place is faith. You can be in faith and have something happen there in you. I've seen that many times in places where, you know, an individual or maybe one or two individuals get blessed by God and helped. And everybody else just sort of sits around and gets nothing because most of them are sitting there waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for things instead of connecting. So just make sure you connect. If this man can do it, we don't have anything with him. We know this. He wasn't a highly educated guy because he wasn't a highly educated religious man. He wasn't a scribe or Pharisee. He wasn't those. He probably just a common guy, lived in town. That don't mean he was an idiot. One thing we know, he was smart about faith. He was just dumb enough to believe. And I'll tell you this. We have to watch on education. I've even watched in Christians. I've watched people get intellectual when I went to Rhema. They sort of got intellectual about stuff. And you know what? They ended up worse off than what they were before when they got there. They had a more simple faith in God than they did because they looked at things as just from an educational standpoint. No, it's you can hook up in the spirit. You know, it's one thing. Ed can't count on his wisdom. I don't know about you. I need the wisdom of God. I'm not bright enough to live this life without Jesus. And understand that. There's nothing matter with having good intelligence. I believe if you learn to walk by faith, you'll have some. But you don't live by just your own discretion and your own thinking. You learn to humble. I believe one of the big things is humbling yourself to God, is your admission and knowing that you need Him and need His wisdom to help you to make decisions. Just because He gave us wisdom on doing so, He gave me wisdom about faith. But I tell you what, my faith is still tied to Him. It don't work without Him. You know, it gets over and thinking it's Him, I'll guarantee you, He won't be plugging into no power. He'll be in trouble. Because He'll think Ed's the power source after a while. Ed ain't ever been the power source. But I can be a good conductor. I can be a good wire. And that's what you want to be. You want to be a good wire. For yourself and for others, and that's what to be. We're just a good wire, but we're never the power source, the source of power. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. See, He just did it in another term. I'm talking about electricity. Well, the life comes from the vine to the branch. If you remove the branch from the vine, what does it do? Withers up. You unhook these wires of this house to the power that comes in from the outside, you ain't got nothing here. Even though you have all the wires, everything's right, there's no power. Why? Because the wires in here are not the power source. They're not power source. But the wires can carry power, can't they? And you know what? You're wired to carry power. That's what you are. See, you start understanding that about yourself. You start understanding your place. All I do is I'm a hookup. Glory to God. That'll take the pressure off of you. You know, because some people don't minister to people because, well, what if something don't happen? Or that? Look, you can carry power to people. Sometimes they'll take it, sometimes they won't. Don't feel bad about yourself or think there's anything wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. If you operate in faith in what you know and understand, and there's stuff sometimes we don't understand or know, but if you walk in what you know and do, that's all your job is. It ain't to be anything else. You can't make other people take stuff. You can't make other people have things. You can't do that. And so, but you know what? You can always be the power. The plug's in the wall over here. You know, they don't feel bad if nobody ever plugs into them. They don't go, I'm worthless. Nobody uses me. No, they're there ready to be used. And you know what? Anybody that plugs into it and the thing's ripe, it works. Hallelujah. And think about yourself in the same way. You always be connected to the power by faith. I'm hooked to the power source. Praise God. The power of God's in me. I'm hooked to the power source. The Holy Ghost in me. Don't get any better power source. He's inside of me. And I'm hooked to it. Glory to God. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, the Holy Ghost ain't some spiritual hitchhiker in there. You're in there. Praise God. I'm connected to it. Him and I are in fellowship with one another. I'm connected to His power. Glory to God. It works through me to hook to other people. If they'll operate in faith, I'll just be a good wire. Hallelujah. And that's all you have to do is you walk by faith. And so we teach them how to hook up, how to plug in by faith. And we tell them how to do it. And you know what? You end up having a good circuit. And what happens? You will end up with a manifestation. But the only thing that brings manifestation of light to that light bulb is because of power comes through. Power causes that to happen. We don't get light without the power, do we? No. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you as we looked at these things again this morning. And Father God, we're going over things again and again and again. But Lord God, I believe there's people that are listen to download these things. People need to hear stuff. People need to grab a hold of things. People need to be listening, Lord God, to things, Father God, to the truth of the Word of God, Father, so they can be blessed. And that's what we want. We want people to get a hold of them. We want to see, Lord God, teach them that it's easy. Just like as the we're looking at the people today. It was easy for them to hook up. Hallelujah. They were just believing the right way. And Father, I want to thank you. They got what they came for. And Father, I pray that as people, Lord God, walk by simple faith in these things, Lord God, that they can know before they ever get there that they're going to get, hallelujah, from you what they're coming for. Because Father God, you are good. You're a great giver. Hallelujah. And you give them power to be healed and delivered in Jesus' name. Amen.